What can you do this weekend that won't cost you anything? In fact, what can you do in London that don't cost nothing at all? Talk the Walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9. We live in the most beautiful city on the planet Earth, and let's go around and have a look at the joys that are there to be seen. Talk the Walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9. My name's Big George, and I talk to cab driver John Kennedy about the best walks in London. It's fascinating. Talk the Walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9. And here's a cast iron guarantee. It's walking through the streets of London, but without any sight of Ralph McTell. Oi!
There we go. I tell you what, that's going to be number one in the charts at Christmas, John. How you doing? All right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Back at home.
Simon Lennon was just walking past. That's radio magic, mate.
Love it.
Lovely. Right, okay, security, get him off the building, please. Don't let him back in. Take his pass and make sure that you lay on with the wheel with those baseball bats. The man needs to be taught a lesson. Right, John, where are we today?
Well, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, I'm back now anyway, we were talking
about... Yeah, where were you last week? You haven't got a note yet, have you?
No, I have to give an apologies. I mean, I was basically home for a week and then had an enforced second week at home in the West Country. And then I fell asleep, and before I emailed or texted you, and then I woke up when the phone started vibrating in my hand. And
it's never stopped me coming on air falling asleep.
No, so I do apologise.
That's all right, mate, don't worry.
But we're at, see where we are, Southwark Street, Stony Street, at the corner by the Southwark Tavern. We're going to go into the Borough Market.
Okay.
Part of it, though. It's going to be a second part next week. It's and the reason why is it's a little, lots of little nooks and crannies and little streets here, and to pay it proper attention, because this really is the jewel, another jewel in the crown of South London, a second one, Dulwich Village, Borough Market, maybe one day Elephant and Castle.
That's maybe one day. They've been trying to clean that up for a while, haven't they?
They've been knocking down some of the old blocks down there, and we're going to have a look. There's some skyscrapers going up the Elephant and Castle.
Is there really?
Honestly, it's amazing what's happening. Wind turbines going on, blocks of flats.
Oh, my word. There'll be blocks of flats taking off, won't there?
Won't be long.
Wind turbines. Borough Market, I mean, I've only been there a few times this year. It's beautiful. It's getting better every time I go there.
I think it is. I mean, we're right at the corner now at the Southwark Tavern. A wonderful... I mean, tonight... I mean, I've done this walk, just walked around here tonight, and it was packed outside, but also busy inside this public house. And then bang on the corner here of Stony Street and Southwark Street, we then have Brindisa, a tapas bar.
Right.
And it's different. You've got the old-fashioned public house on your left. Then you've got a modern sort of Spanish-looking tapas bar with people sitting outside just, you know, dining or having a glass of wine or having a coffee. And then right next door to that, on the right-hand side, is the Borough Market itself. And what you'll notice now is the columns.
Right.
Straight away, the iron columns in their dark olivey green, and then you'll notice a bit of the splendour of a bit of, because remember, you don't want to spend too much money on your iron work. I mean, so it's not too dandy. It's not what you'd expect on some, like, the wrought iron gates that we saw on Southwark Street by the hop exchange there, the hop sellers bit there, we did the other week. So, and you just notice the canopy, and I walked into it, that little bit of the market, and you know, there's a little calf there. You can just see how it's changed. It's completely different to what it used to be. It's still a working fruit and veg place. Mm-hmm. I mean, what was interesting there tonight was, as I'm leaving the walk, all the lorries are lining up. And it's wonderful to see, you know, that it's still a working market. And trucks coming from all over the place.
It certainly is. I mean, some of the fruit and veg you can get there, I mean, it's absolutely splendid. But where the change in things you said, they've got traditional calves. They've also, in Borough Market, got these really, you know, upscale oyster bars and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, no, and we're going to have a look at a couple of them, as we walk along. So, where are we now? We're on Stony Street.
Yep.
Left-hand side, you can see one side of the Southwark Tavern. On our right-hand side, we've got Brindisa, a tapas bar. We go straight on, and we'll have a look at, like I said, notice the Borough Market itself. Immediately on your right-hand side now. What you've got here, it's a great area if you like a drink. I mean, and I mean a traditional drink, a boozer drink. Immediately on your left-hand side, what you'll come to is a Young's pub called the Wheat Sheaf.
Oh, yeah.
Just literally a couple of doors, two windows on the front. One of those little pubs, you walk in straight into a bit of a reasonable bar. Young's boozer, looks like it's done really well in the past. I mean, I've drunk in there myself. On our right-hand side, again, just look up and look at the canopy. And then look at a little bit further down to your right-hand side, and what you will notice is a well-lit part of the canopy. And it's more of a bottle green, a brighter green. And then that sort of like off-whitish look on this well-lit canopy. And again, what you'll notice then behind that is oh, it's, you'll know, it's a restaurant upstairs, all lit up, called Roast.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and then downstairs is the Ginger, I think it's called the Ginger Pig, it is.
That's right, yeah.
And it's the butcher's. I mean, this is a organic, basically free range. Yeah. Everything is just, you know, as nature should be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, it, you know, if we're going to eat meat, it's done properly.
Yeah.
And it is just like,
packed out as well. People drive for miles to get there. There's one in Marylebone as well, round the corner of Marylebone, next to the Fomars. Right. Do you know what I think about this part of London?
Mm-hmm.
Is it's dominated by railways, isn't it?
It is. Well, what you'll notice, have a look on a later Z map, and what you will notice is it looks like we're in a Bermuda Triangle. You'll see the railway line that comes in from the south, straight to London Bridge. You'll see a railway line that comes from Cannon Street back towards London Bridge and out to the southeast, and then you'll also see another railway line going in from the south, also into the city. And it, and you do notice it gets a bit confusing. You think, hang on, it's another railway bridge, another one.
Mm.
And then we're going to look at when we go further round this walk. I mean, some of the history here is quite amazing. I'm not going to go too in depth with it this week. Next week's when we're really going to get into the cathedral part. So we've got Roast, we have. What you'll notice then is the cliche here. You've got the old working market. You've got the sort of like trendy little bit to the market next to this tapas bar.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, when you can just walk into that little bit. Behind that is the bigger bit of the real working market. That's where they're all lining up and the little forklift trucks are moving the stuff off. And then you've got the butchers there then. And it is quite a cliche. You've got an organic butcher's, a trendy restaurant, an old Victorian market, tapas bar, a public house, another public house.
Bingo.
And then another public house called the Market Porter on the corner of Stoney Street and Park Street. And that really is a good boozer.
Mm-hmm.
And this place is, it's buzzing. That little stretch alone is no bigger than 80 foot.
Yeah.
And the smell of stale beer. You know, but it's in a weird way, it's quite a nice smell.
Nah, it's an evocative smell of work in London.
Yeah, and that's, honestly, I could smell that this evening.
Mm-hmm.
The people have had a good night, and it was just beer.
Yeah.
I want to make that clear, and that's a good sign as well. What you will also notice, Randy, one of my favourite subjects, everyone knows, bollards.
All right.
Now, they're there for a reason. If you think about the forklift trucks and the lorries, you do actually need bollards, you do, to keep the big trucks away from the iron structure to the canopy. So
yeah.
Some of these bollards are actually there for a genuine reason, so I'm not going to dig those ones out. Excuse the pun there. Doing it, so no, but I mean,
try digging the ones out by the American Embassy, mate. You'd need the mole from International Rescue League.
You'd be there for a week.
Yeah,
I mean, they'd be well sunk though. The ones in Whitehall were going in. Anyway, as we can move a bit further down Stanley Street, what we'll also come to now is another. It's called you got this. What you'll notice is the buildings both sides, but you'll see these again, the big railway bridge, but. You know when they put that UV light, but the difference is with this railway arch, it's brick. It's that yellow stock brick. It's beautiful brick. You know, you think, what an archway these people built. You know, when you actually think about this now. I mean, this is, you don't see it that often now, bricks, do you? Modern buildings, anything we do, it tends to be footings, centre column, lift shaft, spans out, bit of glass, bolted on the outside, then people come in and do the floors.
Oh, no, the way that we build now is completely... I mean, just, we were talking about the railways. Imagine the infrastructure of putting those in and building those around existing buildings and stuff. You know, we'd never do that nowadays.
No.
We'd never do that. We wouldn't be brave enough, and B, it's like there's too many laws against it, which is a good thing if you're living in that area. But it's like that, you know, as you were saying, that they really done things then, not just for practicality, but for the aesthetics on the eye.
Correct. No, that's so important. Mm. I am into that. I think things have got to look proper.
Yeah.
I still think the best parts of London are our Victorian parts.
Yeah, without
by
a doubt.
Far.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at a Victorian terraced house, be it a normal bay window or a rectangular type bay window, they still look the best homes. And that's why they're still standing.
Right.
These things were built to last.
Right. And so we're up Stoney Street. How far are we up there?
Well, we're near the railway up. You can see the line of the black line. If you're looking on the map there, you'll actually know. We're actually just there. Now, there's another steakhouse. It's the Blackened something it was. Like, I did it here. It's the Black and Blue Steakhouse. Mm-hmm. And again, really modern, lit up, people sitting outside because it's quite a pleasant evening tonight. But what you'll notice is that blue UV lights, and I'm not normally a fan of lighting up arches or bridges, so I do think it's a waste of energy, but it works around here.
Yeah.
And I think for this bit of London, because there are lots of little shops around here, but it's just, this is just a railway arch, and it did look beautiful. took a nice photograph of it, stick it up on the website, we will. But it just looked really good, it did. And so, you know, I mean, I seem to be getting into this lighting and contemporary art. I'm starting to worry myself on a bit. But and, you know, what you start to notice now is the road gets a bit tighter.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did notice also was there's a free car park for people on Saturdays at the Borough Market.
Yeah, I've parked there, yeah.
Yeah, no, well, that's funny, isn't it? You know, they're all the organic stuff, yeah. And you can come and drive your car. I mean, it's, you know, but it's good to see, isn't it? Someone mm-hmm. actually, they want people to come and do business there.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing.
I think it's a great thing, yeah. I think right. I think it should be more, you know, short-term free parking in London.
Completely.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we get in supermarkets, but it's nice to think that a smaller organic, small business person's market is thinking about its future.
Yeah.
Because the market's run by a group of trustees, it is like. It's because you have to remember, this area, I should mention this, this was under threat a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Local MP Simon Hughes, I mean, he campaigned fervently. It was to do with, you know, the railways wanted to literally flatten half the market, put another big railway bridge in, effectively, to create more lines. That seems to have gone away, that project now. It's just, you know, gone by the wayside for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it looks like the market is safe. So, you know, I mean, and maybe that's part of the reason why it has got more busy and more trendy here. That could well be it. But what we will notice now, anyway, is you'll just see the old buildings. Now, all the buildings on the left along here, there was one called Wine Wharf, it's a restaurant. It's all part of this bigger complex, 3 acres site, Vinopolis. Now, we're going to come to that shortly, we will.
All right.
A big museum. So, remember, talk the walk's free. There's no harm in having to look through the window, though, is there?
No.
Reading an information board outside. And if you do want to then spend a few quid and go in and taste wines, whiskies, beers, or try the restaurants, that's your own choice. But, you know.
See, I mean, I know this is free, but I'd have probably gone into Black and Blue for a steak. That's
no,
what I'd
it did
done.
Look good, because they got the old, and they got the cow standing up. They're like, they've got one in Gloucester Road, but they've got a couple of cows, like big, quite large cows,
yeah.
Up high up. And they, you know, when you see a cow on a bit of a flat roof, it's a bit odd, isn't it? You know, when you think, again, you're in a market and then you've got a railway bridge in the right, it just looked a bit odd. I like that quirkiness.
Mm-hmm.
It does work.
Yeah, yeah.
And the lighting does work well down here. And the good thing was there were still suits eating. Good sign for the economy still.
No, that's not bad.
You know, good sign for the economy.
We'll come
still.
To the economy in a minute, John. Right,
yes.
So we're going. You can still drive up here, though.
These are drivable. I mean, what you can't do when you get to. What happens is when you get to the end of this street? I mean, we're still on Stoney Street. Like I said, most of the left hand side. What you'll notice is, like, it is old, like little wolves. Like, mm-hmm. You know, that's what they are. You know, and you can see, like, the way the shutters would open out, or the doors would open out. I mean, on the right-hand side is a no-entry Winchester Walk. We're not going to go down there. We're just keeping on this simple walk, because we'll do the really complex one next week. The road seems to narrow. And then you get to this bit called Clink Street.
Yeah.
Now, it's called Clink Street for a reason, because it's a prison used to be there. And there is a prison museum there.
Yeah.
Now, what
came first? The prison or the terminology Easing Clink? That's where it came from, isn't it? Easing Clink Prison. You know, so
this is one of the oldest prisons, yeah. And this was a nasty place. I mean, you can go up to visit London and read up about it if you want. Again, they do charge admission, but you actually, there's a few windows there. I just looked at one mask. That was enough for me. I'm thinking, oh no, this must, because it's cobbles. I'll tell you what the other thing is, you're walking along here, and all of a sudden you think, hang on, it's just knocked me heels on my shoes.
Yeah.
And it's not nice walking on cobbles.
Imagine a woman in a 6-inch Christian Louboutin shoes.
Well, yeah, you could. Got real trouble down here. This is a place for MBTs. This is a place for trainers. This is a place for soft shoes,
mm-hmm.
desert boots. It's not a place for any shoe with a reasonable heel on. That's even for a man, that is now. You know. But,
let's get on to your favourite. We're on Clink Street now. Let me get on to your favourite subject, bollards.
Yes, there are a few here, because they've actually put a couple in, so you can't drive down Clink Street now to the left, which is annoying. But not as many. There are a few here. I mean, they're a bit jet black, and they're not as dandy and ornate as they got in the Square Mile, but they do exist.
Mm-hmm.
Again, what you will notice now, before we come to the entrance to the Clink Museum, is the massive railway arch in front of you, and you really do notice the yellow stock brick here. And there is just a beauty in this brick, and then there's this massive block and tackle just sticking out of part of a wall. And it is, in its own way, it's a museum to a bygone era.
Yeah.
That is in itself
mm-hmm.
that we used to use block and tackle, because now it would be, what, a cherry picker or something to move something? It would be a forklift truck.
Yeah.
You know, when you think someone was standing there with a chain pulling up a heavier weight.
Mm.
It doesn't happen now. It is, you know, it just shows you how far we actually have moved on, even with just lifting equipment. We're using energy. Not our own energy, but like we're powering things.
Yeah.
And the cobblestones, you know, you're surrounded by brick. When you actually stand under this arch, what's weird now is you've got brick on the floor, brick on the walls, and brick on the curved roof. It's a bit weird, actually, standing there. And then spin straight around, and you've got the Clink Museum. That's the entrance to it. And you've got a few bits hanging off the walls around there. And this is one hell of a nasty place. And who did they used to do there? Well, debtors. People forget. If you didn't pay your debts, you went to prison many, many years ago. Whores, thieves, actors even. This was an...
Actors? Yep, send them to prison. I've seen some actors that need to go to prison, yeah.
And like you said, in the Clink,
yep.
Meant jail. I know. I mean, this is a nasty... I mean, a bit about the history here, look. I just got this off Visit London website. We're talking here from 1503. This was a private jail, the Bishop of Winchester. You know, when you think about it, it's a private jail. So imagine you owed him money, you're in the Clink, aren't you?
Yeah.
Basically, you owe him money, that's where you're going. I mean, and it was private, and we talk about it now when we've privatised the jail. What we forget was jails originally were privately owned. Where someone who had a bit of land, my estate, you've done whatever, you're going inside in the Clink. Anyway, he had owned vast estates and wielded absolute power on the south bank of the Thames since the Norman Conquest. So we're talking, what, over nearly 450 years, this individual, or not him, but the actual Bishop of West Winchester, controlled this land. The bishops ran the tourist bankside brothels. There we go. Look, I'm not going to knock the church or anything, but they were running the brothels, they were. And the Clink was often used to jail prostitutes who displeased their masters. So, and even in those days, we had miscarriages of justice, you could say. It existed, it happened. But what you will notice is people were tortured in those days in these prisons. It isn't like what prison... I'm not saying prison's easy. I don't think it is. Losing your liberty is enough for anyone. Yeah. And I don't know if many people have ever gotten into a jail. I have once. I have gone in to do a job of work with a jail in a previous career. And I was glad to walk out, I was.
It's that lock in the door behind you and the keys.
And the clanking of the keys.
Yeah.
And the clinking. It's just clinking horrible.
Yeah.
It's just awful. You know, and there all I was doing was going to do a job of work and then to leave. It was not nice.
Nah.
So, you know, it's easy for us on the outside to sometimes think things are easy on the inside. And then we talk about the bishops ran, like I said, I just picked their masters, debtors, thieves and actors. We talked about that. And then it was burned down during the Gordon Riots in 1718 and then hadn't been used for a century after that. So, I mean, it's got a dodgy, dodgy history.
Mm-hmm.
And this era has an amazing history. And
it's really awesome walking around because it's...
You don't get sunlight.
No, that's why it's quite oppressive,
isn't it?
Because
you've got the wolves. You've got the wolves. When you get to the bottom of Stoney Street and you go left or right, now we're going left into Clink Street, you'll notice all the big, reasonably tall, medium-density wolves. And so you don't actually see sunlight. And so in the summer, it's very cool.
Yeah,
that's
why
it's a nice area.
Yeah.
Same with the top end of Stoney Street. You don't really get direct sunlight because of the canopy in the market and the reasonably tall build, two or three, four stories high, the public housing, the buildings there. So it does stay cool round there. And it actually is a nice place to be in the summer because you're then by the very near the Thames and you'll get a breeze off the Thames. Now, you've got a couple of usual brands have turned up down here.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's not upsetting. It's just life. Wagamama and Nando's are there. You know, you just see the big, especially the Nando's, the big Nando's sign. Look, it's meant to be excellent chicken. I've never eaten one.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wagamama's I've eaten, and I've got to say, actually, their dishes are quite good.
Oh, yeah.
Vinopolis is on your left-hand side, and it is just a massive wine, whiskey, beer emporium. And the bit about Vinopolis is so interesting. They found... when they were building the railway bridge in 1850, South Eastern Railway, doing the connection from south of the Thames to Cannon Street, they found an old Roman remains of a vin, you know, like a vintners, effectively.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why it's called Vinopolis.
I mean, really? So,
and that's why, yeah. And when you go on the tour in there, they'll show you a bit of it.
Because when the Romans were here, this would have all been marshland and stuff. So this would have been an encampment area, wouldn't it?
Now, this is fascinating.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, 1850, these big arches, it's 3 acres, that site. So when you go literally past Park Street and down Stoney Street, the whole buildings to your left is all Vinopolis. So when you go left into Clink Street, other than the Clink, that's the whole site of Vinopolis. It's massive. Now, we're at the bottom of Clink Street now. We're going to turn right into a bit called the Bank End.
Before we do that, John, am I not right in saying that along Clink Street, some of the bollards there are made up of old cannons?
Some looked it up. Now, there's meant to be some of these in Bethnal Bethnal Green.
Right.
I mean, I'm pretty sure. They didn't look that old today. Some of these looked like they've been taken out. There were some, like, saying 1999, actually date stamped.
Right.
And because people have been, I'm not being funny, like, nicking them. Yeah, that's the problem.
Because I was always led to believe that these were cannons that were taken during the Napoleonic Wars.
Yeah, the original bollards in London exactly are. But that's why when you see the round end on the top, it's an actual cannonball tacked on. What good on it is on the end.
Because I used to go down there a lot about 20 years ago. There was where the museum is. I believe that I think it's where the museum was. I can't remember, but that was a studio, recording studio and rehearsal studio.
Yeah, there was the Clink Studios.
That's where it was. So I used to rehearse there all the time.
That's still there, Clink Studios, right. And then the Clink Prison is just a bit further up on your left. Right, before the big railway arc.
Yeah. So what we'll do is
I'll go on a hunt next week with the camera, and you know, for next week we'll go and find. Well, I'll be walking the other half,
right,
and we'll have a good old search to see if we can. Because there is a way of identifying if it's a cannon. I'm not going to say on air. There is a way of identifying.
So we're at the end of Clink Street now, are we?
Yeah. So, and what you'll notice in front of you is another brand, a Premier Lodge Hotel. Now, this is a recent addition to a beautiful pub that dates back to 1615, the Anchor Bankside, and this is a fantastic boozer.
Mm-hmm.
You go in, I'm 6'2", you come out with your head whacked, you know, you scrape the top of your head. It's one of those pubs, all different levels. You go to the toilet, you come back like you're clutching one eye because you've walked into a bit of a wall. It's just a fantastic pub. The Financial Times is around the corner. They used to have a bar, I don't know if they still got it there, called the FT Bar upstairs. Mm-hmm. Just had a few papers or whatever, just to encourage a few of the new tenants to drink in the establishment. But what they have out the front here is, it's such a beautiful bank end. It's an end. It's just an end in there, and it's like a bit of a terraced area. And when you go up some stairs, and you'll get to see the modern bit of Cannon, the bridge leading to Cannon Street. You'll see the six big columns coming out of the Thames, especially on low tide. You really do notice them holding up the big iron part of the railway bridge. Then to your left-hand side, you'll notice Southwark Bridge.
Yeah.
And at night, Southwark Bridge looks better because it's got a bit of a gaudy green and sort of like yellowy paint job. Doesn't really do this bridge justice because it is a pleasant-looking bridge. But what's beautiful about it, as you're standing at Bank End, you look directly across at Southwark Bridge, immediately behind it, you see the Dome of St Paul's. And it really did look fantastic tonight. Just seeing the Dome of St Paul's, though. Not the rest of it. That's all we could see because of the other buildings beyond the bridge in front.
Yeah.
So, and it's a really good view. And there weren't too many cranes like with lights on. There's a few about. There's still work going on, you know, thank God. I mean, but this really was a good view. And when you looked over the edge here, you know, the tide's out, and you just see all the old shad and all the old.
So where are we looking at this from? Is this from the walkway?
We're at Bank End itself, in front of the boozer we are. There's a bit of a terraced area where you can drink outside, because I used to drink down here many years ago in the summer. This was a great place to have a drink on a Friday or Saturday night, because it was, even though it was, when it was warm, you were cool.
Yeah.
And there's a few other boozers. You can go on a really good,
pub crawl.
Drink sensibly, but you know what? Every now and again, there's no harm in having a pint or two in a few
different places, yeah. You know, move from one to the other, yeah.
And this is one of them.
Because they have the Monopoly trip of London, don't they? Where people go, you know, they go through all the different regions of Monopoly. I've seen some people, once they get to Regent Street, mate, they're finished.
The worst one's meant to be that circle line that people try and do. I'm sorry, but you can't do it. As soon as they, you know, like, get out and literally have a drink, so I get back on the train and keep going round and round and round.
That's if the circle line's ever running. Yeah. Okay, there's a beautiful pathway there, that Thames pathway.
It is. Though you've got some, this is a great walk, and we will be looking at this. Mm-hmm. What's nice here is you are away from traffic.
Right.
The only traffic you'll get is coming down towards the back of the pub, because again they put a couple of bollards now and stop traffic getting to this part of Bank End. Just two they put there, just enough to deter cars. You look like you can get through, but you can't.
Right.
Don't even attempt it, because cars used to drive right up and around the corner here, and then, you know, the usual, someone would park right outside the pub, then people come out the door and they can't get to the terraced area. But sad bit is, I mean, they do keep it clean there. Again, a nice smell of like real beer, real ale again. You know, it really is. It's a really dark brick building, the Anchor Bankside, and they've really done a good job painting the wooden frames up a real nice crimson sort of red, and it just stands out. It looks good. The back end, the hotel, obviously for business. I mean, with Vinopolis been there, I actually think it's quite a good move. It's bringing tourists, it's bringing money into this part of London.
Yeah,
because it needs it. You know, I mean, because it has been. You know, in the past, it's only the last 12 years this area really has moved on up. You know, and before that, it relied really on... It's still got its tourists, but, you know, if you can make a bit of extra money with the hotel on the back, yeah, it seems like a good deal. You know, they've tried to merge the building into the hotel. Where it fails is the sign. Nothing wrong with the company. The sign don't look right. Premier Lodge. I mean, it's that.
Yeah,
big,
I,
like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the, not knocking them as a company, but the sign doesn't match the pub, obviously, because of the age of the pub. But the brickwork, they've done quite a good job with the colouring they have there.
Ken's got in touch. He says, I went to Borough Market a couple of months ago and had some free Spanish food at the Spanish Festival. There is a wine bar down that way. It's called Balls, I think. And above it says Hop Exchange. I don't know if it's still a Hop Exchange.
Yeah, Balls Brothers. That's the one on Suffolk Street on about. Which looks like the wedding cake.
Yeah.
Yeah, great thing downstairs. Yeah. Yeah, Balls Brothers it'll be. It's the old, oh, no, no. It's fantastic, man. Honestly, this area, it is... I haven't mentioned... See, the reason why we haven't gone here earlier on is because, you know, it does get talked about a lot. But, you know, it hasn't been spoken about for a while now. So, you know, it's you know, and we were in Southwark Street. And I think it's only important to... And, you know, people forget about this part of South East London. It's a really good part of London. It really is. Because we're going to do the Borough High Street as well, you know.
Right, Eileen's got in touch. She said, what tube do I have to take to get to Borough Market? What would be the best tube if she was
London
going?
Bridge.
Right, okay then. Mm. And she says, can she get a really good cup of coffee down there?
Yeah, you can, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, honestly,
can.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you'll see the adverts up, the Illy and all that for the old Italian cottage and that. Oh, no, there's everything here. There's something for everyone here. No matter what your taste of food or beer, it's here. You know, and that's what's nice about it, you know. I mean, and like I said, it's especially like, you know, like a day like today. It's a shame it isn't Saturday and it's nice and sunny, because Saturday's packed. Down here.
I know, it's lovely. Saturday and Sunday is absolutely, it's brilliant.
Can't move.
Right, where are we now, John? Are we nearly at the end? Because I've got a few other things I've got to ask.
Yeah, we're at Bank End, so we're going to come back up Park Street now. Well, we'll notice, so we're coming up Park Street.
Right.
Okay, so we're doing a complete U-turn on ourselves, just like a cab driver, straight up Park Street. What we'll notice on the right-hand side is some, like, housing association houses. Quite pleasant. Really done quite a nice job. And then we'll notice Vinopolis on our left-hand side.
Yeah.
And then also on... Further up, just a little bit on our left-hand side, we notice a massive new office development going in. So it's all, you know, boarded office for the moment. You can see sort of some of the lights are on. And then as we walk a bit further up Park Street, we'll see the right turn for Red Cross Way, which will lead us back to Southwark Street and that dots that we spoke about, them multicoloured dots the other week.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to continue on Park Street now. A quick look on your left, you'll notice a row of four Georgian houses. Absolutely wonderful these houses are, on the left-hand side, and beautiful shutters on the windows, on the ground floors, but the shutters are on the exterior, not on the interior. Normally you see it where the shutters are on the inside, they don't have curtains at all, but these are on the outside. I just noticed them, you know, and I love this area a lot, and I haven't noticed them in the past, probably because I've had a few beers down there, so I just didn't notice them. But the next bit of Park Street we're going in, This has been used in films, Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrel. You know, you go under a railway bridge, you do, and then you bear at your left. It's a complete swing, because we're coming back to Stony Street now, and we're coming back on ourselves.
Right.
And that's where we'll start again from next week, okay? And you'll just notice the dark or the darkish green colours. You'll notice a Portsmouth shop. You'll notice there's some Neil's Yard cheeses down there. So a Covent Garden company has now come south of the Thames, which is fantastic, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And they've got their... you know, you just see these massive big, you'll love it, I mean, because it's the big round cheeses lit up, sitting in the window, and you think, my God, there's racks of them.
Yeah.
Racks of them, and racks of them.
Leave me in the cheese shop, that'll do.
And then there's a sad bit, there's a tea room that's been told it's got to close for some reason. It's just, the problem...
Why is it they're trying to shut tea rooms and tea outs, John? Why is that?
I don't know, but what's odd is that they've just been told by the trustees they've got to close Ship's Tea Room, which is quite sad. But this was used in...
Do you know, if they suddenly open up a Starbucks that drive me up the wall.
Oh no, I don't think that. This is, I think the way it's worded, this is a problem with the lease. So it's a legality somewhere. So hopefully it can be resolved. It doesn't look like it will be, because they were literally selling their own crockery.
Mm.
And it really is a cute little tea room. Looks like someone's really put a lot of time at this shop, this place. No. There's a couple of other little places getting done up. The Market Porter's back on the corner. What's really beautiful now, and what was beautiful tonight, and I think on a dusky evening, you know, just as the sun's about to set, the view now of the ginger pig roast, you can just about see the word B-O-R-O. You can't see any more of them Borough. I had the front end of a truck and then a bit of a canopy that's lit up to Borough Market. Do you know what? What a picture. Absolutely stunning. It was just out of this world. And I'm standing in the middle of a road at near about 40 yards away from the end of Park Street. This was amazing. And like I said, it's been used in films. This area gets used in films.
Yeah.
That was the bit, remember the bit in Lock, Stock when they were in that room and they were breaking through into the other bit, I think, or whatever. That's where this was filmed, this bit, you know, and you see him coming out of that house or whatever, or escaping. Well, I can't remember exactly the film, I've seen it. And it was filmed around here. And
BBC used that area as well.
Yeah, around the corner as well. They filmed a bit for Mission Impossible as well.
Yeah.
I mean, because you can actually hide this area off. You can just, you know, put a board up, whatever, or, and you can just keep people out, you know, get permission. Mm-hmm. It is a little maze around here. We've done the simple bit this week. We're going to do the really complex bit next week.
Right, I've got a complex thing to ask you here. Are we done there, John?
Yeah.
All right, lovely. And this will be available where in a couple of days?
It'll be on freelondonevents.co.uk. We'll have this, the podcast, we'll have a script, and we'll have a Google map, and we'll have some pictures, we will. That'll be up by the thought, Saturday, Sunday.
Lovely.
And then we'll also have a script on londondaynews.co.uk for people to have a look at one of my photographs and a brief script. I'm going to shorten the scripts a little bit, and then... You know, because I do have a habit of
going on and on and on and on.
Yes.
Maybe that's the cab driver in you, John.
Maybe.